part of TheFinCider.com and the SB Nation Network.
And now,
your host, Matthew Cannata, joined by co-hosts Josh Houts and Aaron Sutton.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to FinCider Radio. This is Matt Cannata, joined by Josh Houts and Aaron Sutton. And boy, oh boy, we are recording this show on Monday evening, and over 24 hours later, the adrenaline, the joy, the enthusiasm, other words too that aren't appropriate for air, are still in the air and running through our veins. What a game. What a finish. And one I am sure that none of us will ever forget. This will be talked about over and over and over again.
Gronkowski standing at about the 15-yard line.
He couldn't tackle anybody.
I don't know why he's back there.
I know why.
Knock it down.
He threw it up in the air. He knocked it down.
That's exactly why. Tannehill, last shot, back to throw. They throw it down. They try to pitch it, and they do to Parker. Parker pitches it. And it's Greg! 30, 20, Gronkowski's got a tackle!
That is unbelievable! I don't believe what I just saw!
What he sees in front of him, a field of defensive backs, and a hawking tight end who stands at the 15-yard line. Tannehill throws down the middle, caught by Stills, laterals back to Butler, or rather Parker, who flips it to Drake. He runs across the 40 of New England, angling inside to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. He's going to win the foot race to the end zone. The Dolphins are going to win it on the lateral. Once, then twice, and Drake takes it in, and the Patriots stand stunned in disbelief.
Tannehill acá tira este pase, lo tiene ahí para Kenny Steele. Kenny Steele lo da la pelota acá a Devante Parker. Devante Parker a Kenyon Drake. Kenyon Drake se va corriendo, cuidado. Kenyon Drake le tiene a Gronkowski. Kenyon Drake, touchdown, Kenyon Drake. ¡Qué jugada! Miami. Gana este partido con una jugada sensacional. Tannehill para Kenny Stills. Después para Devante Parker. Y después para Kenyon Drake. Rob Gronkowski defendiendo, no lo pudo parar. Y ahí...
Man, just hearing that again. I mean, unbelievable. I have not stopped watching that play. Every time it shows up in my timeline, on Twitter, on Facebook, every time I happen to see it, I watch the whole play over and over and over again. One of you start.
The worried parent in me is still looking for a flag for like an illegal block down the field or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It was incredible.
I can't believe it. Let's talk about these radio calls here. We can't play the CBS call because of copyright issues. Radio calls are fair use and fair play and such. So we can play that. So we got the first one you heard was the Dolphins radio call. Second one you heard was the Patriots radio call. The last one you heard was the Dolphins Spanish radio call. And so, you know, the Dolphins radio call, you could hear the announcers, Greasy and them. They're just completely out of it. They have no interest in calling this last play of the game. And then all of a sudden, Drake breaks it. And then you start hearing the screaming. You start hearing the euphoria. And they just go wild. And then you hear them at the end, I don't believe what I just saw. Unbelievable. That was a great radio call. I can only imagine what it would have sounded like if the late, great Jim Mandich was calling this game. Wow.
The only thing that makes this game better is if it propels us into the playoffs this year. That's the icing on the cake for me. As it stands, regardless, it stands up with the Wildcat game in Foxborough. It stands with the Greg Camarillo last second overtime win against the Baltimore Ravens. The Steelers game for me, the Steelers game in 2013 where we barely escaped with a pretty similar play and Antonio Brown barely steps out of bounds. these are the types of moments that I will remember for the rest of my life.
Yeah, and it's plays like this. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm sitting there, I'm feeling kind of numb. I'm like, damn, we let this one get away. It was a great game, shootout. And it's just one of those plays that, you know, every team practices it, but it never works out. And just to see it all unfold the way it did, I mean, I still have goosebumps. I've been smiling all day. I mean, tears rolled down my face when it happened. It was just one of the best plays that you may ever see in your entire life. And like Sutton said, if this gets them into the playoffs, I would argue that it might be one of the best plays in the history of the Miami Dolphins. It was just incredible to see Kenyon Drake hit that. He hit that hole, Ted Larson with the block, and then he just outran Gronk, who was stumbling like he just slipped on a banana peel. It was great to see. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, there's so many little things in that play. Like, Kanata, you were saying before the show, the way that Kenny Stills caught the ball.
Yeah.
Just to secure the ball and be able to lateral it. But then I think one thing that I haven't seen mentioned anywhere is when Kenyon Drake first gets a ball and he's starting to break towards the middle of the field, he kind of looks backward to look to see if he could lateral it to anybody. And the Patriots players kind of turn with him. And he's like, oh, yep. Crap. Yeah, let me just go up the field. And then once he gets past that little threshold right there, then he has Gronkowski on spring break without any protection, not knowing how to do anything back there. Like, that was gold. After he got to that point, I was like, dang, like this. And I still am worried, like literally at this recording, still worried that there's a penalty going to be called on us.
Before we keep talking about the play, I just want to go then to the Patriots radio call. And you could hear them. And then you hear, oh, Jesus, when Drake starts breaking it. And then you didn't hear the entire clip because it was just breakups of it. But after the touchdown, there was just dead silence on the Patriots air for quite a bit. And the dagger in their hearts.
How about the grandpa and Barstool? That was
understand
hilarious.
Much Spanish except por favor, siente day. That's all I understand. And, but you could feel the excitement in that Spanish radio call as well.
Huevos grandes.
Yeah, that's what Kiko said about Tannehill.
That was awesome.
Yeah, but you're right, son. You know, as I was tweeting out earlier in the day, when the All-22 comes out, I'll be tweeting it out. But from the bits and pieces I saw of the game footage, Tannehill threw it in a way. And I don't know if it was on purpose or whether everything was miraculous on this play. So whether or not it was on purpose doesn't really matter. But Tannehill's ball ended up in a spot only where Kenny Stills could catch it. And Kenny Stills maneuvered his body so he was the only one who had a chance to catch it. He paused for a second, looked for Devontae Parker, tossed it back to him. Devontae runs up the field. And on the All-22, you'll be able to see, and you could only see a little bit on the actual game footage from the TV copy. But Devontae had about 10, 15 yards to run before anyone would be near him. However, he was up the sideline, so he would have been boxed in. If he kept doing that, it would have been more laterals. His quick decision to toss it back to Drake, which Adam Gase was mad at first because he thought Devontae had room to run, that decision won the game for the Dolphins. Drake was looking to pitch it to somebody, couldn't find anybody, so he said, I'm going to keep the ball, and I'm going to start trying to make something happen. He said he saw Ted Larson coming up the field, so he waited, came inside on Larson, waited for Larson to come outside on him, and Amendola gives a little nudge to the Patriots defender right into Larson. Larson doesn't lay down a huge block, bumps him just enough to slow him down. Gronkowski, and when Drake ran to the left, the Patriots defenders up towards the end zone moved with Drake. Then he cut back inside. Gronkowski did not think the play was going to get to him, so he wasn't really thinking of taking the angles and such. So by the time he realized, oh my God, this is happening, he starts running towards Drake. He trips up. The Patriots defender coming from an angle on the side had a nice angle to push Drake out right at about the 2-3 yard line. And whether or not Drake would have jumped over, gotten into the pylon, whatever, we don't know. But Gronkowski, because he tripped and took a bad angle, then blocked the Patriots defender's angle on Drake, who got stuck behind Gronkowski, which allowed Drake to run into the end zone. So you just heard me say all that. All of that had to go right for this play to be successful. I mean, the Patriots had a 99.9% chance to win based on ESPN's probability statistics. There is no way the Dolphins should have won this game, but they did. And they are right back in the thick of the playoff race. They have an outside chance to win the division. I mean, probably not going to happen, right? But no one thought they would win this game. The Patriots lose two of their next three, and the Dolphins win out. The Dolphins win the division. The Dolphins win out, very likely to make the playoffs as well. And I know there's warts, and we're not going to talk about the warts today. We're not going to be negative. All I will say is, despite some of the warts that were shown during this game and previous games, something like this can trigger a complete turnaround in one season. And I wouldn't be surprised if it happened to Miami.
How hilarious is it that it's Ted Larson out in front, probably the Dallas Thomas of this year's Miami Dolphins, in terms of being a heel of the offensive line, being the scapegoat for all the problems, and for him to be a key block and all that. That's what a great story. And like you said, man, it's just, let's gloat in this. Let's have fun with this. This is amazing.
Yeah, and I know both of you are touching on certain things, but one guy we just got to tip our hat to, Ryan Tannehill. I mean, we've been hard on him. You know, some of us, it's in the team's best interest, you know, to go and find someone to compete or back him up. But what he's done since he came back from this, I mean, Juwan James looked like he just smashed his ankle, and this guy came back. Whether he was doped up, whatever it may be, he came back and he played a hell of a football game. He's been incredible since he came back, and you just got to give him credit, because that ball to Stills, I mean, just throughout the entire game, he was going throw for throw with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and he put through a perfect ball to Stills there, like you guys said, that kind of started this Miami miracle. One quote that I just loved from this was when Kenyon Drake was sitting there talking about Rob Gronkowski and how he's a future Hall of Famer and how he loves him. But he said, I got somewhere to be, and I'm going to beat him. And he beat him to the end zone. He's like, I don't know about you, Gronk, but I got somewhere to be. And he just made it to the end zone. This game is going to be one that we never forget. And I think Ryan Tannehill has a lot to do with the way the Dolphins have turned this season around and why they still have hope this late into the year.
And one thing we've said all along is Adam Gase commands a resilient group of players. And that's what you've seen so far. We can go back to 2016 when we saw this, with what the catapult was that year was two straight games with Jay Ajayi going 200 yards. And you saw that offensive line say, hey, let's put it on our backs. And that was the catalyst in that year. And yes, this is the type of victory that can catalyze a team into performing well into the playoffs. Whether or not we click there, that remains to be seen. There's some consistency issues, I think, that we would all admit, but for the time being, it's prudent to enjoy this game and know that there is a lot of season left.
The Dolphins and Patriots have had a lot of great, oh my God, moments, right? You got the Wildcat moment. You had the Michael Thomas moment where the Dolphins had to stop Brady as they're driving down the field. And this is just in recent memory. You had Xavier Howard just shutting down Tom Brady last season. And then this. And all of our reactions we're going to talk about, but there is one reaction in particular that was just off the charts. And we've brought him on here on Finsider Radio to discuss his reaction. His name is Sean Moore. And we're going to play the clip from his video.
You will not believe what just happened! Holy crap! Holy shoo, my God! You gotta come see what just happened! Oh my God! I can't believe I went to death! You gotta come see that! Holy shoo! Oh my God!
And we are joined now. You just heard that clip, that hilarious, funny, passionate, emotional clip with Sean Moore. And I was on Facebook earlier today after work just browsing around, and I saw this video in the Miami Dolphins fan group, and that I started dying because it was just so funny, as you just heard. And I pulled it off. I downloaded it. I put it up to Twitter. Then I tried finding Sean, got in touch with him on Facebook, told him to come on the show, then realized he had a Twitter, which made it even better. And as of this recording, this video has been retweeted on my account over 130 times, has been liked by over 340 people, has been retweeted and quote tweeted by people with over 10,000 followers, someone with 15,000 followers. It is, I dare say, going semi-viral right now. And right now with us is Sean Moore. Sean, thank you for joining us here on Finsider Radio.
Thanks, guys. Happy to be here.
All right, Sean, so this show is all about the Dolphins' victory over the Patriots, the unlikely Dolphins' victory over the Patriots. And your reaction is, I'm sure, the reaction of many Dolphins fans across the world. And I know for me, I just had my hands over my head. I couldn't believe what I had just saw. And you just took it to another level. So first of all, let's just talk about how you were able to not capture it because it was your security camera, but how did you remember to look back there and say, wait, maybe that got caught on camera?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I just got that doorbell. It's one of those like Ring doorbells. I literally had just installed it like less than 2 weeks ago. And it's kind of crazy. You know, now with the holidays, we're, you know, the UPS and Amazon people are here like three times a day, right? And so I'm just sitting at work today, and at like 3 o'clock, my little phone beeps and there's activity at my door, and I see the UPS driver dropping off packages, and I'm like, oh, wait a second, I should go back and see if that funny moment when I ran out of the house and my neighbor came over was on there. And sure enough, it's like crystal clear HD quality, like minute long video of me screaming and cursing at my neighbor in my neighborhood, and then my neighbor jumping over here. So it was like instantly, it was like, all right, I'll download that one and maybe show my wife and share it. And here we are. I'm on the phone with you guys.
So what I thought was funny, I know Sutton has some questions too, but what I thought was funny was the doorbell camera actually picked up you screaming before you even opened the door. So it picks you up screaming. You open the door. You're swearing. You're then you catch yourself swearing. Your daughter. How old's your daughter?
She's 2.5. She'll be 3 in March.
Okay. So you're probably thinking, oh my god, my daughter's outside. I'm screaming in the whole neighborhood. You catch yourself swearing, and then I found it hilarious. Your wife and your daughter are just staring at you like, what is going on? Is this guy okay? Is he okay? Is something happening in the house? What is happening? And then all of a sudden, we see your neighbor run over with his Dolphin shirt on. Your wife sees his Dolphin shirt and then goes about her business like it's okay. I know what's going on. Something with the game. And she had the look that my wife had too when I showed her the plays. Like, whatever. Okay, what are you doing? Just take us through that moment again.
Totally. So, well, so I'm normally at the games. I'm a season ticket holder, and I had a leg injury this year. So I broke my leg earlier this year, and so I haven't gone to as many games as I had hoped to have gone to. Although the Dolphins have been number one, amazing in terms of accommodating me with a broken leg. They've been able to pick me up in the parking lot on a golf cart, drive me to the gate, and relocate my seats to like a more accessible area. I mean, they've been like world class all the way, number one. So kudos to Miami, the organization.
Awesome.
But being at the Bills game last weekend, and then I live in Orlando, so it was like another trip down. It was like, you know what? My dad lives in West Palm, and my dad and I usually go to the games together. I gave my tickets to my uncle, who was just going to be in town that weekend, so him and my dad could go. And so I was like, all right, well, I'll just watch the game at home. Well, so my wife is actually, this is kind of the funny wrinkle of the whole story. My wife is a Bills fan. She actually grew up in Buffalo.
No way. Park.
Yeah, so she's from Orchard Park. Her and I met here in Orlando 15 years ago. We've been married for almost 10 years. So she's outside with my daughter, doesn't care at all about the game, you know, doesn't give a dang at all. So when it happened, I'm in my home alone, and I just wanted to like celebrate and scream and just let someone know, like, oh my god, we've done it, we've finally you know, had this amazing comeback victory against the Patriots. And so I ran outside, and of course my daughter's just staring at me, and she's like scared to death, although I think she's kind of used to it because I've done this a few times now. And then my wife's like, oh yeah, cool, all right. And then like back to just hanging out in the yard. But then my neighbor, the guy that ran over, his name's Vinny, he has a newborn baby. And so he said that he was in his house, and he was like circling and jumping, but being like super quiet because the baby was sleeping. And he could hear me from inside his house. He could hear me screaming and yelling outside. So then he ran over. And so that moment was literally, he was like trying to figure out a way to celebrate, but not wake up his six-week-old baby. And then he ran over, and that's kind of how it all went down. So kind of funny.
That was going to be my first question. Was this guy your neighbor? Because I could just imagine being in that position and like seeing someone in my front yard like naked juggling meat cleavers, and I'd be like, hey, come on in, let's have a drink, come on man, this is the best moment ever. So I just wanted to ensure the fact that he was your neighbor, so thank you for verifying that. But one thing that was particularly impressive that Matthew kind of skimmed over, in my opinion, was someone with a lot of children. How were you able to filter yourself as you open the door? It seemed like you were saying, like, oh, shimmilla, this was awesome. So, like, one of those kind of things. So how were you able to take us through that moment? Like, you're so exhilarated with the victory, but then you open the door and you're like, oh, my God, yeah, there is my wife and my child. So how were you able to do that?
So what's funny about the video is that camera angle, it's like a fisheye, 270 degrees. So it looks kind of skewed, like I'm not actually staring directly at my child, but I'm totally like staring her in the face as I'm screaming. Like, she's standing at the end of the sidewalk, and I open the door, and she's literally standing right there in front of me, just like this look on her face, like, Daddy, are you okay? And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. You know, and I don't know how. It's kind of hard to really, well, maybe not, because it probably blares through the speakers on your computer.
I had to turn. I was listening to it at work.
I lost my voice. Like, I completely lost my voice last night. I screamed so loud that, I'm sure that there's probably neighbors that are, like, calling on, like, want to do wellness checks on us from the screaming. But, no, you can hear the holy S word, and then I open the door, and I'm like, I see my daughter. I'm literally ready to drop another S-bomb. I see her. He's like, we locked eyes.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shoot. So, luckily,
That was impressive. As a dad of four, that was very impressive. Okay, so take us a few moments before the video starts. Did you have any suspicion? Okay, I don't know how long you've been a Dolphins fan, but did you have any suspicion at all that we stepped out of bounds, or there was a holding penalty, or there was an illegal block down the field? Any reservations before you freaked out?
I was a little nervous about a block in the back and then getting the flag, but what also kind of, you know what play I thought of when this play happened was, this almost happened.
Antonio Brown, right?
With Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Antonio Brown.
I was thinking about stands, bro. I really was.
Oh,
I was
my
there.
God. I mean, it's funny. That was like the first thing I was thinking of. Is like, oh my God, this is our Pittsburgh game. Holy cow! Like, it's actually happening. and knowing our luck against the pass and just the history and I dare say the refs. I mean, I thought for sure, like, what's going to happen here, but. I don't know. It was just like, I don't know. Maybe it was just our time. It was our moment yesterday. So I was just like so excited. I couldn't believe it. So.
Did your wife afterwards say, like, what was going through your mind? Did she say she thought you were having a heart attack or something broke in the house? Or was
well,
she
it's
just...
funny. I actually do have, it's kind of funny because I do have another video. As I went back and looked at these ring videos, I had a video. So it's funny, it's timestamped like 4:08 or 4:09, like exactly when the play happened.
Uh-huh.
But at 4:02 or 4:03, I think I went out there to like, hey, where's the kids? Or like, how's it going? Or what are you guys doing? And she might have, I think, it's hard to pick up, but I think she asked me like, what's going on with the game or whatever. And I was like, oh, they're going to get this and they're up by this and we're going to lose. And I was like kind of bummed. And like, you can see me like walking back, like sulking with my head down. And so then it's like 6 minutes later or whatever it is, I'm out there screaming like bloody murder. But so I think she knew it was football related. Uh-huh. Granted, I will say this about my Buffalo in-laws, they're very passionate about football. My wife grew up in a football family. Her brother played football at Orchard Park High School, went to Kent State. I mean, her dad, they were season ticket holders in Buffalo for years. She's grown up around a dad that probably screamed and yelled just like I did when she was growing up. So I think she's been around this a lot. So I think she kind of knew, like, okay, football. All right, cool. But next, you know, so she kind of rolled her eyes and that was it.
I'm just reading through the comments on on the Twitter posts that I put up, and it's just you know, Sean, you're a guy like us, right? You're not a celebrity. You're not a former player. You're not an alumni. You're not a member of the Dolphins staff. But Sutton, I'm going to dare to say this is one of our best interviews, I think, that we've had on this show in a long time. Just because, you know, it's the passion and emotion that we all felt when that play happened yesterday. And we're still living through it today. And it's just, I can't explain it. We can't. None of us can explain it. And I think we are all living through you in this video as you shouted to the entire neighborhood your joy for the Dolphins winning.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if you go back to the Wildcat game, I don't know that you can say that the social media presence was there, like the connection, the connectivity was there. So the fact that we're able to have these experiences, and for guys like us that aren't in South Florida, we're in Cleveland and Connecticut respectively. So to live these moments through you guys that are so close to what's happening, it's just a really cool experience for us too.
That's awesome.
Sean,
that's great. Go ahead. Sorry.
Have you heard from the Dolphins or anyone? I know your video just started going viral this afternoon. Have you heard anything? Yeah.
So it's actually kind of cool. I've done so well. I don't want to say I've done. I mean, I've been a season ticket holder for probably over a decade now, and I love this organization because they allow us, the fans, to really give back by participating in the Dolphins Cancer Challenge. So I've actually ridden in all of them. So I've never missed one. I've ridden in all 8 Dolphins Cancer Challenges. I've been a heavy hitter, which the heavy hitter status is if you've raised a specific number of dollars every year. So I was like, last year I raised almost $3,000. So I was a heavy hitter last year. And so I've got through all of those events and just being down there a lot, I've gotten to know a lot of the people that work for the Dolphins. You know, ex-ticket reps, like my friend Rebecca Wright, she's a ticket rep. She's now part of the staff there. I've gone to the London game twice, so it's cool. They've done all these, like, pep rally-type meetups in London, and I've gotten to meet a lot of the alumni and a lot of the staff. Like, I got to meet Tom Garfinkel and Marino, and everyone's always been just so cool and just really so inviting and just makes you feel like you're part of the family, and I think I've really just taken to the organization. It's been a lot of fun, and so because of some of the relationships that I've had with him over the years, when this video kind of came out, I sent it to my buddy Will Posthumus, who actually runs the video boards at the stadium. Yeah. Like, he's part of the game day crew and like the media crew.
Yep.
And so I sent, because I work for a media school in Orlando. It's called Full Sail. We teach like media technology and all that. So we even have some alumni that work for the Dolphins, which is pretty awesome. But so I sent him this video, and he's like, oh, can we share this? Do you mind? And I was like, go ahead. So I don't know what they're going to do with it. That's I think they're trying to get like a bunch of fan reaction videos and stuff like that. So Will was like, do you mind if I pass this along and all that? And I'm like, yeah, sure, go ahead. So,
nice.
So we'll see.
Nice.
Who knows what will happen.
All right, son. Anything else for Sean?
No, just happy to have you on the show and be able to celebrate this victory with you.
Sean, I come down to Miami. Sean, I come down to Miami at least once or twice a year. I already did my 2 trips this year, but I'll be back next year. When I come down, I am taking you out for a drink. So keep in touch, and we'll be in touch. And thank you for sharing your passion and your joy with us. You've made a lot of people's days with your video.
Awesome. My pleasure, guys. Thanks so much for the call, and thanks again. Go Fins.
I mean, what a great interview that was. Just feeling the passion for someone like us, a fan like us, not a former player, as I mentioned in the interview, not a celebrity, no one with inside information, just one of us, and just the way we all felt after that game. Let's talk about our reactions, guys. Okay, let's talk about our reactions of that game and then the finish. Let's talk about the finish first. Houts, we'll start with you.
Yeah, as a pessimist Dolphins fan, the whole time throughout this game, you know, Dolphins went down, they came back up, they went back down, but just deep in my heart, I thought, you know, this was going to be a game that they'd find a way to lose. 7 seconds left, I mean, the play never works. I mean, I've never seen it work, and aside from some Aaron Rodgers Hail Marys, it just doesn't happen, and you see Ryan Tannehill go out there. They just do the improbable, the Kenny Stills to Parker, then back to Drake, and like we touched on, Drake's looking around, and I think that's what kind of froze that Patriots defense. I was just sitting there in complete disbelief. I had to walk away because I was just tearing up, started to weep like a little baby. I love this football team, and no matter how down I can be at times, no matter how down we can all be, I mean, in our heart, all we want to see is this team win. So it was the most incredible game, incredible finish to a game that I've seen in my life, and I just am still overjoyed with how great it felt.
The reason I wanted to ask the filter question right away is because I was with all four of my kids during the end of that game and my wife was napping. So when my wife came out and was like, oh, hey, how'd the game turn out? I was like, I was impressed that I didn't drop any four-letter words in front of them. So the fact that he was able to do that and I was able to do that was pretty amazing feat. And I think part of it was just me being stunned. I just thought, I feel like there was a Mike Pouncey game maybe a couple years ago where he got too far ahead of somebody and that prevented us from getting a win or something. Like, there's all these different plays that have happened historically that have kind of woven into a jaded fan that I am. So the fact that it all, when you saw the smoke clear, that it was an okay play, like we didn't do anything wrong. It was an amazing, amazing feeling. And I just hope that we can translate this into something more than just a convenient way for the football gods to stomp on our every belief at the end of the season, because we've seen this narrative where we've done well at the end of the season only to come up short in some other godforsaken way. We have to be able to kind of control our fate the rest of the season and hope that this type of play catapults us into something better.
This play, it was the first time in team history that the Dolphins won a game on a touchdown with no time remaining in the fourth quarter. The total play was 69 yards. Ironically, with Gronk missing the final tackle. The 69-yard score is the longest play to win an NFL game with no time remaining in the fourth quarter since the 1970 AFL-NFL merger. Kenyon Drake ran 52 yards on the final play. This victory brought their mark at home to 6-1 and 4-1 this season against the AFC East opponents. Season sweep on the Jets, split with the Patriots, which is to be expected, and they have a chance to sweep the Bills when they head up to Buffalo in week 17. The Dolphins own the Patriots in Miami. The Dolphins are now 5-1 in their last six home games against the Patriots and 7-2 at home against New England in December and January games since 2000. That is staggering. They are 7-2 at home against New England in December and January games since 2000. Crazy. Miami now has 17 wins in its past 23 home games, which is the team's best stretch at the venue since going 18-6 from September 4, 2001 to December 28, 2003. And Drake's game-winning touchdown was the ninth lead change of the day, which marks the most lead changes in a game in Dolphins history, according to CBS. There was a lot more to this game, right? The Dolphins were battling back and forth the entire game, and I don't think any of us expected that, especially when we heard the news that Xavier Howard was out. I tweeted that it was going to take an absolute miracle for the Dolphins to pull this one out, and boy, did they get a miracle. But I don't think any of us expected them to be back and forth and down by six before halftime, going into halftime, and then pretty much battling right down to the last few minutes, and then it was okay. Dolphins weren't able to stop Brady and the Patriots. Here they go. Pass interference on Micah Fitzpatrick. Patriots will run off the clock, kick a field goal, win the kick it off, win the game. And then the miracle happens.
But think about this too. Steven Goskowski misses a point after. He misses a 42-yard field goal, and they had just put a graphic up about how many field goals inside 45 yards that he had made. We had two blocked punts, okay? And then we stopped them from getting any points at the end of the first half, which is very un-New England-like. So there are so many fluky plays before that miracle even happens, which makes the end of this game even more weird than it already is.
Yeah, this was one of the most unique games, I mean, you can remember in recent memory, and I can't wait for the All-22 to come out. I can't wait for that to replay on NFL Network because you know it's got to be one of the game of the weeks. Let's just hope that the Minnesota game isn't a letdown. I mean, this team's coming off a crazy high. Minnesota's not looking very good at all right now, and these last three games, I mean, everyone said if you can beat New England these last three games, you know, they're all winnable, and it's just the Dolphin fan in me. I feel like something bad's going to happen, but everything is setting up for this team to make the playoffs.
I feel like I need to talk about, and we need to talk about the game. But at the same time, I feel like the fans and those listeners, we just need to bask in this glory of the miracle in Miami and just let that this be this entire show. And we'll be back later this week with a preview against the Vikings and then just a more standard recap of the Patriots game. What do you think, guys? Do we continue on with the miracle in Miami and talk about it a little more? Or do we wrap up the show with a standard recap of the Patriots game?
I think it's okay to address a couple concerns. I think any of us can kind of enjoy the high of that victory, but also understand that there's some other football things to take care of. You know, the D, there's still some work to be done. And one thing that I didn't think going into this game was I was saying, hey, New England's going to they're going to target running backs and tight ends all day long. And what they ended up doing was throwing to their wide receivers all day long. And they targeted Minka Fitzpatrick. And that's not something that I expected them to do. They targeted the one guy in the secondary that was viable at that point. And New England did, in my opinion, bring a little concerns to Minka playing on the boundary, in my opinion. We could get to this later on down the road just because it is a little bit of a downer subject, but they did pick on Minka quite a few times during the game. But I will say, by the same token, that one thing that we've gotten on Adam Gase on before was not sticking with the running game, and that's something that he did in this game was stay consistent with his run play calls, and it was consistently productive, and it was a good part of the game plan because we were able to keep them off balance by being able to run effectively for the most part, especially on first and second down. And we were able to sprinkle in enough good pass plays that we were able to put up 34 points. Pretty ridiculous.
Gase called one hell of a football game. I mean, we've been pretty hard on him in the past. I know everyone saw the video picture of Dow Loggins going around, so he had some say this week that maybe we didn't see previously. But overall, Adam Gase called a near-perfect game. The one thing that I will say stood out was that third-and-one call. It reminded me so much of the fourth-and-one against Houston. I just don't know what he's doing. He's overthinking things. I mean, that game or that play alone could have lost this game single-handedly for the Dolphins. I mean, we know what happened, the miracle in Miami, but on third-and-one, running that play action with very little options other than what looked like Frank Gore in the flats, it's just a boneheaded play call. Run it up the middle. Quarterback sneak. I mean, there's so many different things you can do there, but overall, hell of a game plan. What they did with Brandon Bolden, I mean, the guy was, he came back and seeked his revenge. I think at one point he had two carries, 61 yards, and two touchdowns. I mean, we all play fantasy football. No one in the world had Brandon Bolden in this game. It's just incredible the way that Adam Gase almost kind of hit him throughout the season. I mean, I'm sure he wasn't a viable option, but, you know, they're playing New England. Why not go out there and give him a chance to make some plays? He did just that. Overall, one of the better games that Adam Gase has called. You just would like to see a little bit more consistency out of him.
So you mentioned the fourth and one where Tannehill basically half-assed play action and then rolls out to his left and then just sacked right away. So Adam Gase actually said in his press conference earlier in the day that all his short yardage calls were with Ryan Tannehill running. And once Tannehill got hurt at the end of a second half, pretty much that went out the window. So Gase even was saying when he saw Kenny Stills just drop in front of that first down marker that he was upset because he knew the calls that he had on his page and that they weren't probably going to work. But then again, you know, I say, well, why didn't you adjust and give it to Frank Gore or something like that, which doesn't make a ton of sense. But I don't want to really get into that tonight on this show. I want to get into that in a different episode. We will get into that in a different episode when we give our more full recap of this game and preview to the Vikings game. But you're right, Sion, and you're right, Houts. You know, there were a lot of things that were great with this game. There were some that you could take away and say they need to improve on it. I thought Adam Gase, like you said, called a great game. The execution was great. He did say in his press conference that nothing changed in terms of play calling, but we can never take what they say at press conferences at face value. It did look like Dowell Loggins had some more input on this game day and perhaps was making quite a few calls there as well, even though we really won't know for sure. Tannehill has played his best football under Adam Gase. And the Dolphins, again, will have a big decision to make. Seems like every regime that comes in here has a big decision to make. The Dolphins averaged 9.2 yards per play. That's the second most yards per play in a game in team history. The record of 9.6 yards per play was set in week 3 earlier this season against Oakland. They had 189 net rushing yards. They were the most by the Dolphins since December 24, 2016, when they rushed for 233 in an overtime win at Buffalo. No Xavier Howard. The Dolphins players stepped up. McCain on the outside. Minka Fitzpatrick on the boundary. Fitzpatrick struggled a bit. He will get better. Dolphins punting squad struggled to block punts. They will fix it. This team has a lot of momentum going to the game against the Minnesota Vikings. We'll have our preview show on that later in the week. Before we wrap up the show, Son, announce any last thoughts on the miracle in Miami.
Just think of all the cheer that you felt during the Miami Miracle and just kind of translate that to the holidays and just really think about the 2019 Miami Dolphins. And if you are a loose athlete like myself who used to play a lot of sports back in the day and you just kind of sit on your butt the rest of the time, think about donating your gently used ligaments and tendons to the Dolphins, because we might encounter a catastrophic injury in 2019 as well. And we want to get ahead of the curve right now. So think of your Dolphins in 2019 and donate your gently used tendons and ligaments. Do it, people.
How am I supposed to follow up? Donate your tendons and ligaments. I don't even know. I'm just thankful for what we witnessed. Everybody enjoyed these last 3 weeks. Enjoy the time with your family during the holidays. And let's just hope the Dolphins can do the improbable. That miracle in Miami would mean so much more if this team makes it into the playoffs. Who knows? Maybe they win a playoff game, but you just got to tip your hat. I mean, this was the team that many believed was a bottom three NFL team this season. All the power rankings, no one believed in them because, you know, they lost the Landrys and the Sues. As up and down as we are on Adam Gase, I mean, you got to tip your hat to him with what he's done with such a banged up roster. Just enjoy these last few weeks, because once football's over, we're all going to be waiting for it to start up again.
An incredible victory for the Dolphins, an unprobable and improbable victory for the Dolphins, but a win is a win in the NFL, no matter which way you look at it. Again, we'll have more on this game later in the week on a separate episode. We'll also combine that with our preview episode against the Minnesota Vikings. But for now, it's time to bask in the glory of the miracle in Miami. For Joshua Houts and Aaron Sutton, I am Matthew Cannata. Thank you for listening to Finsider Radio. We'll talk to you later in the week.
That was Finsider Radio, part of the Finsider.com and the SB Nation Network.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, 'cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins.
Miami has a dolphin, the greatest football team. We drink the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.